What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 4 of Philosophit. And to those who are watching this episode on YouTube, you guys can see that right now I'm inside my bedroom and I'm not in my home gym as per usual. And that's because it's been raining quite hard the past couple of days. And as of recording it right now, it's raining cats and dogs. So of course, I had to be indoors so that the recording would be a lot better. But yeah, here we're episode 4. But before I talk about episode 4 or the topics for tonight, I want to say thank you to Coach Raymond DeBuque for appearing in last week's episode, episode 3, wherein he talked about how he got into powerlifting, specific variations that he thinks would be beneficial to a lot of people when it comes to the squat, bench, and deadlift. So if you're a powerlifter and you're interested to know the life or and the teachings of one of the Philippines' best coaches or best athletes right now, then I would highly, highly suggest that you guys check that episode out. He was a really amazing guest, okay? So if last week's episode was dedicated for the powerlifters, I guess I can say right now that tonight's episode is going to be dedicated for all the personal trainers and all the coaches out there. So before I get on with the main topic, I know I'm having a lot of disclaimers. I do want people to know that Philosophit is always about discurso or discussion, and that's why this segment or this type of episode is labeled or entitled Discurso, because I want us to talk about certain topics that might not be universal for everyone or not everyone might think the same way. So I am going to talk about something that's somewhat controversial or somewhat thought-provoking. So I'm not saying, again, as we discuss things, I'm not saying that whatever I'm going to say is the absolute truth, that no one can ever deny me, oh no, my opinion's better than yours. But this is just my opinion. So to all the trainers out there, to all the coaches out there who have something to comment on what I'm about to say, or something to build on or critique on what I'm going to say, then leave a comment on the YouTube video or message me directly. I'll leave my email address on the show notes. So yeah, again, this is Discurso, the very first segment of Discurso. And what I'd want to talk about, and I know the build-up is quite crazy by now, but what I wanted to talk about is why I think that training the squat, bench, and deadlift to our general population clients is extremely overrated. So I do have to say that as a powerlifter, I love the squat, bench, and deadlift. Of course, I'm not the best powerlifter in the Philippines, especially in the world, but as a powerlifter, like, what we do as athletes ourselves is to squat, bench, and deadlift. And that's primarily because that's what the sport is. If you want to squat, bench, and deadlift better, then you have to do those specific movements. And I'm sure that you guys are already familiar with the principle of specificity. That's quite well known already at this point when it comes to coaching in the year 2020. So before I go against, before I say why I don't like the squat, bench, deadlift, I do want to let everyone know that I know that the SBD, they're great for building general strength. They're great for overload because it's so easy to overload. All you have to do is adjust the sets and reps and probably add some weight. And that's a great way to overload. And another thing that's great about the SBD, that they are also great muscle builders. So, and generally speaking, that's one thing that most general population clients want. They want to get generally stronger. And sorry, another point is they do want to get some muscle growth. So the SBD is they're definitely great options. And there are only, for me, again, in my opinion, I think there are only two situations or two contexts wherein the SBD would definitely be great options. So for your general population client. So the first context, the first situation that I think it would be appropriate is if they really enjoy it. Because obviously, even though if they're not powerlifters, but if they would tell you, hey coach, I enjoy squatting, benching, and deadlifting, then by all means, you should let them squat, bench, and deadlift. Because, and I'm pretty sure you guys have experienced this, but enjoyability or the enjoyment factor that your client would be experiencing when you're personally coaching them or coaching them online, it matters quite a lot. Because as the weeks go by, as the months go by, and if you have the privilege of training somebody for a countless number of years or a number of years already, their enjoyment factor matters quite a lot. Because you don't want them to see that your workouts, the training, the programs, the workouts that you give them, they don't you don't want them to dread it. We want them to enjoy it as much as possible. So if they request that you let them squat, bench, and deadlift, and there's really, then they have no injuries at the moment to prevent them from doing so, then by all means, you should make them squat, bench, and deadlift. So that's the first situation. And the second situation where I think programming the SPD into your Gen Pop client's program would be is if they only have access to a barbell, a bench, and a rack. And I think this is especially true right now in the ECQ, wherein most people, this is for online coaches, most people that you're training right now only have a bar, a rack, and a bench, because not everyone has the luxury of buying a full-on machine or like cable crossover machine, lat pull down, etc., or a full dumbbell set from 5 to 100. Most people just have the bare necessities. So if those are the only, if that's the only equipment they have, then absolutely you're going to be limited by movement selection or exercise selection, then by all means make them squat, bench, and deadlift. So just to quick recap, those are the only two situations: if they enjoy it and if they only have equipment that allows them to do those, or like in other words, they have no other choice but to do the squat, bench, and deadlift because of equipment availability. But now let me go to the bread and butter of this entire episode, is why I don't recommend the power lifts for Gen Pop clients. So let's take this step by step. I'm going to be talking about each exercise. So I'll go by the squat, bench, and deadlift individually. I'll talk about why I don't prefer it for Gen Pop clients specifically. Then I'm going to suggest some alternatives for them to do instead. So, and again, context is everything. So whatever I'm going to say, please do understand that everything does start off by understanding the context of your Gen Pop client. But okay, let's start off with the squat. A big reason why I don't like the barbell back squat for a lot of our Gen Pop clients is because down the line, just like all powerlifters end up experiencing in one way or another, they might experience knee pain, shoulder pain, elbow pain, and lower back pain. But again, before you guys get mad at me at the comments or get mad at me in your own heads right now, I understand that sure, proper coaching and proper programming are definitely going to be huge factors in trying to limit or alleviate these issues. But then, being absolutely honest, we can never ever guarantee 100% that we, no matter how smart or how careful you are as a coach, the barbell back squat one way or another can hurt or give some joint pains to anyone. It's a great movement for developing general leg strength, lower back strength, hip strength. So again, the barbell back squat is a great movement. But again, we have to understand the context of a Gen Pop client. What they would probably want, and this is why they're called Gen Pop client, is because that they would only want to get generally stronger, generally leaner, generally fitter or more active. So we don't really have to enforce the barbell back squat on them, because I'm pretty sure, like, if you've been back squatting, if you've been a powerlifter for a number of years, there was a time that you would probably experience some issue. So knowing that, even though as smart as you can be, we can't really guarantee that they're gonna experience zero pain all the time. And again, if they just want those general goals, there are other means or other methods to achieve them, and not just barbell back squatting. And the movements that I'd recommend instead of the barbell back squat would be goblet squats. And I'm pretty sure you guys already include the goblet squat, but you guys might be wondering, oh, maybe that's not heavy enough for them. But then that's the thing. It doesn't have to be super heavy. We want them to lift heavier in the future. Gradually speaking, we want them to get stronger, like week by week, month by month, whatever, however you periodize things. But then we don't need them to be significantly stronger, specifically in the barbell back squat. So again, if you're going to think that the goblet squat is too limiting, then of course you can do other movements apart from that, so, or adding to that. So there's the goblet squat, and then there's any lunge variation. And my top two lunge variation would be either walking lunges or deficit reverse lunges. So actually, I think when it comes to a Gen Pop client, I honestly believe that the best, I'm going to claim it already for me, I'm really going to claim it, that I think the best lower body movement for a Gen Pop client would be walking lunges. So why is that the case? Because one, aside from it being unilateral, and of course a unilateral movement that does, you know, make them, it forces them to work on their balance, or forces them to work on their athleticism, it's because it's the most practical, or to use the term quote-unquote functional movement there is in that you can do in the weights room or in the gym. That's because in almost every sport, and again, I know that Gen Pop clients aren't really athletes, but just to give the example, in almost every sport, you would find an athlete in some point of their game or some point of their match, they are going to be in a lunged position. So why not strengthen that position? Why not strengthen them in that movement instead of the barbell back squat? So whether that be with body weight or with dumbbells, kettlebells, or a plate, or whatever, however you're going to load the walking lunges, that is, for me, in my opinion, going to be the best lower body movement that you can make a Gen Pop client do. So again, that would be the walking lunges, and another lunge variation that I love would be the deficit reverse lunges. And the only time that I'd recommend the deficit reverse lunges over the walking lunges is if you don't have space, because of course, not everyone has a full turf area or a full hallway that they can do walking lunges on. And of course, it'd be awkward if you were to make them do walking lunges back and forth in a 20 or a 15 square meter room. Is, you know, practically speaking, I think the deficit reverse lunges would be the better option if you're in, or if you're coaching somebody in a limited space. Another great lunge variation just to add on would be the Bulgarian split squats, another movement that's great for unilateral work, for balance work, and just overall leg development, leg and hip development. But even after all of those lunge variations and the goblet squats, some of you might still think that that's not heavy enough for them. But I'm really going to say that, again, it doesn't have to be super heavy for a Gen Pop client. They don't need to squat 60 kilos, 80 kilos, or 100 kilos in a specific amount of time. Or, I mean, of course, it's nice to have goals to lift a certain amount of weight. But again, that's going to go back to the context that they enjoy it and they really do want to hit that specific goal of lifting a heavy weight. Because again, context is king. But again, just to cater to it all, if you really want your client to lift heavy, then get a safety squat bar, or hopefully the gym that you're in has access to a safety squat bar, or if they're using a home gym, I highly suggest that they get a safety squat bar, because it's going to immediately, it's going to completely remove the possible issue of them hurting their shoulders or hurting their elbows while maintaining that upper back tightness that we all try to strive for during the barbell back squat. But again, the safety squat bar is going to definitely help them with that, and they now will be able to go as heavy as you want them to go. Again, that's how I view squat training or general squat training for the Gen Pop client. All right, so I guess that's all I really have to say for the squat. Now let's move forward towards the bench press. Why do I not prefer the bench press for a general Pop client? Again, I'm specifically talking about the flat barbell bench press. So out of the three movements, the SBD, I would definitely say that the bench press is the movement that I would make my Gen Pop client avoid the most, because again, to use the term, it is the least quote-unquote functional. It's really, if you were to really think about it as what it is, it's such a weird movement. Yes, it's a great movement to build, to develop your pecs, your front deltoid, your triceps. Again, that's a great movement, but if you were to look at it as what it is, you're making somebody lie down on a bench, retract their scapula, and push off a heavy bar away from them. Again, that is great for strength and hypertrophy, but if you were going to take into consideration the context of a Gen Pop client that doesn't necessarily have to increase his or her bench press, and the reason why you're making them do this is because they want them to develop those specific muscles, then you don't have to bench press. They don't have to bench press, because again, it's such a weird movement. When would you ever be in any similar, even like the slightest similarity of what the conditions of the bench press? You are again lying down on a surface, retracting your scapula and pushing off away from you. Again, maybe it's just me and my imagination, and it's really limited, and I can't think of a real life situation where that would be applicable. And I know we're talking about general strength and not specific special strength, whatever, but again, it's a weird movement. And if you just want them to get stronger arms, stronger triceps, shoulders, and pecs, then I believe the best movement that they should do would be the push-up, because it does allow your scapula to move freely, and that's almost, and that's what we need them to do. We need them to have mobile shoulders. We need them to have healthy shoulders, as opposed to what you would normally see when somebody complains about the bench press. So whether that be shoulder pain, elbow pain, wrist pain, or lower back pain because of the excessive arch that you're trying to force on them. And I understand that, you know, we're trying to some extent, we do have to apply some powerlifting standards. Again, quote-unquote powerlifting standards, as they do the squat, bench, and deadlift, because those quote-unquote standards are going to help them lift as much weight as possible. But we don't even have to go to that issue in the first place if we just don't make them do the movement in the very, very, very first place. So again, I mentioned the push-up a while ago, and the reason why I love it is because on a psychological point of view, again, I'm not talking about training itself, but on a psychological point of view, for a Gen Pop client, their ability, or now their now newfound ability to be able to do a push-up, means so much to them. So just talk about my personal experience as a coach. I've coached a number of people, not to brag, but I'm pretty sure you guys have done this in the past as well, but just to state what has happened in my situation is that I was able to coach a good number, probably over 20 or 30 people who weren't able to do a single push-up when they met me. And then after a few weeks or months or whatever the duration is, it's different from person to person. But for them to be able to do their first push-up, to be able to do their first 5 or their first 10 straight, perfectly clean push-ups, means so much to them. Because as a general population client, you knew it from the very beginning of your fitness journey, or before, when they were teenagers or even children, everyone knows what the push-up is. But then at that time, maybe not everyone can do a proper push-up. So for them to be able to actually perform it and to do it extremely clean, it means so much to them. It's such a sentimental moment for them. It's a valuable moment for them. And the bench press, I'm absolutely sure that you guys can have sentimental moments with the bench press. For me, in my own training, the first time I was able to hit 100 kilos, because everyone knows this, I am really weak in the bench press, but when I was able to finally hit 100 kilos, that meant so much to me. And this also applies to a lot of people that can now bench 120, 130. To be able to hit that PR means a lot for a lot of people. But these are for really diehard powerlifters, strength athletes, or people who enjoy it. Again, that's going back to the earlier context that I mentioned. That's especially true for people who enjoy it. But if you're just a Gen Pop client that just wants to be generally fit, you can live your entire life without benching at all. So just make them do a push-up. Make them have that confidence boost that they can call it a party trick, that, oh, I can do 5 or 10 push-ups. And I know for a lot of us trainers, 5 or 10 push-ups doesn't mean a lot. But to a Gen Pop client, psychologically, it means almost everything to them when it comes to their fitness journey. It's more of like a mental or psychological proof that, hey, I am fit. I am way better than before. So yeah, that's for the bench press and the push-up, comparing the two. Aside from the physical benefit, the psychological benefit is what I have experienced the most, or what I've observed the most when it comes to coaching the roster that I've been coaching for the past 5 years. So again, that's my opinion when it comes to the bench press. Now, let's move on to the deadlift. So actually, in the three, the squat, bench, and deadlift, I think that the barbell deadlift from the floor is actually the most forgiving one. It's a great movement to develop a lower back, glute, hamstring, quad, strength, all the hinging muscles. It's a great movement. But I guess if there's something that I were to alter when it comes to the bench press, is that I don't like it that a lot of people are forcing their Gen Pop clients to deadlift from the floor immediately. When I say from the floor, I do mean from the standard height. And of course, ideally, if you have bumper plates, no matter if you just add 5 pounds or like 5 kilos, whatever's available in the gym that they have, not everyone can lift from that floor, because not everyone has the same mobility. Not everyone has, what do you call this, the exact same leverages. Some people really have bad leverages. And just to share from a recent experience that I had when I was coaching somebody, this person was, when he first came to me, he was already well built. He had big arms, big back, decent legs, decent butt. But then, so we wanted to work on his deadlift. And the moment I started coaching him from the deadlift, so I tried putting, what do you call this, I loaded the bar for him. I put 5 kilos aside so that it's elevated into the standard height. No matter how buff this guy looks like, I realized after a few attempts that, damn, this guy's arms are just really, really short. And no matter what we do, just because of how short his arms are relative to everything else in his body, he's not able to reach down to the floor without rounding his back. And for me, I was like, damn, what the hell am I gonna do with this guy? Like, he's literally physically impossible with his given mobility and leverages, but especially the leverages for him to deadlift from the ground. So for me, I was kind of stumped at that time. Then I realized, wait a minute, he's a Gen Pop client. He doesn't really need to deadlift from the floor. That's not, yes, the deadlifting from the floor is better than comparing it to deadlifting from a block or from a rack, just because of the added range of motion. I understand that. But then if he's not able to do it, why force it? Just go for the rack pull or the block pull, which are definitely my alternatives when it comes to somebody or when it comes to coaching a Gen Pop client. And if you want that, and if you wanted them to deadlift. So don't deadlift from the floor. Don't force it. If they can, absolutely do it. If they cannot, then deadlift from a block and deadlift from or deadlift from a rack. And that's not really taking so much away from them. By doing the block pulls or the rack pulls, they'll still be able to get strong upper back, lower back, ass, hamstrings, and quads, and everything else that's involved with the hinging pattern. They're still going to develop from that. But to take it a step further, aside from block pulls and rack pulls, I think the movements that would be beneficial for them if you just wanted them to get stronger in the hinge pattern would be a hex bar. I personally think that the hex bar would be the best option for most people, or like the hex bar block pull or rack pull, if whatever's available to you guys in the gym equipment or in the gym that you're training. But the hex bar, personally speaking, based on my experience, a lot of people prefer it just because there's zero chance for them to scrape their shins as they're deadlifting it up. And I understand that, of course, when you're deadlifting, if you want to be really efficient with it, you want the bar to be very close to your shins, because if you let the bar travel too far forward in front of you, then obviously that's gonna throw off your form, and so to fix that, we want the bar to be really close. But then if you have a hex bar available to you, or a trap bar, whatever you want to call it, available to you, then by all means just do that instead. That's really going to improve their hinge pattern. Yes it might make it a bit more quad dominant, but that's fine, they're not powerlifters. So yeah, they can still improve their hinge pattern by just doing the hex bar variations. And I'm telling you, it's also way easier to coach the hex bar as opposed to coaching a conventional deadlift with a bar or a sumo deadlift with a bar. But for them personally, they enjoy it the most, because I'm pretty sure that they're going to be happy that their shins aren't going to be bloody every time they leave the gym. Again, these are just variations. And actually, sorry, just to follow up, another easy variation for the deadlift would be a kettlebell deadlift. And yes, I understand you can't really go so heavy with the kettlebell deadlift. But then that's to go back to the point. They don't really need to go heavy. They just need to hinge. They don't need to deadlift 100 kilos, 150 kilos, 200 kilos. They can easily make do with a 24 kilo or a 36 kilo kettlebell. And without a doubt, if you coach it properly, they're still going to develop the hinge muscles. So whether that be the ass, lower back, hamstring, quads, glutes. Oh, sorry, I said ass already. But everything else that's involved in the hinge, you can make do with, what do you call this, just the kettlebell. Again, as I'm saying everything, context does matter. I'm just saying that if you're coaching somebody in a full gym that has access to a bar, a rack, dumbbells, all the machines, all the track fields, all the turf, all the sleds, etc., and you're coaching a Gen Pop client, what I'm basically trying to say is that don't give such huge priority to the squat, to the barbell back squat, to the flat barbell bench press, or to the conventional slash sumo deadlift from the floor. These are amazing movements. Again, I don't want people to think that I think that they are crap. I think that they're great movements, but as an exercise for a Gen Pop client, I think that there are other movements that can benefit your client much, much more. Again, the reason why I have formulated this opinion is because when I started out as a coach, I was basically a quote-unquote powerlifter. Of course, I'm not the best powerlifter, but I did compete in the sport of powerlifting. And at that time, powerlifting is all I knew. Squat, bench, deadlift is all I knew. And I understood the benefits that it poses for general population clients. But then as you expand your knowledge, you realize that if you just want them to get generally stronger, have increased hypertrophy, general movement pattern, then they don't have to squat, bench, and deadlift. Because on one side note, coaching it to somebody who's not proficient in their movement, or if there's somebody that's not proprioceptive, if I'm trying to use that word for all the personal trainers that studied or that found out that word because of their textbooks. But yeah, they don't need to do the squat, bench, and deadlift. If you want general movement or general fitness, you can definitely make do without them barbells back squatting, flat bench pressing, and deadlifting from the floor a single set or a single rep their entire fitness journey. And if you coach them right, they're definitely going to progress. Again, I don't want anyone to get mad or like frustrated because they're diehard powerlifters. I love powerlifting, but then as a coach, you do have to understand there's more to it than just the squat, bench, and deadlift. And I know that throughout this entire episode, I have been quite redundant at some times, but these are the points that have to be repeated over and over again just to get it across. But again, this is Philosophit. We are talking about the first segment of Discurso. Whatever I'm saying, I'm allowing it to be rebutted, or I'm allowing it to be refuted against, to be argued. I don't want to use the word argued or debated because, of course, fitness, there's a lot of things that aren't super duper set in stone. Maybe there are some things like, of course, calories in, calories out. I'm not sure if anyone's gonna go against me as I say that, but there are a few things that can be altered. There are a few principles or methods that can definitely be altered or improved upon. So in regards to what I have to say about my opinion for the squat, bench, deadlift for Gen Pop clients, please do let me know. Because of course, as a coach, what matters the most is not the principles or the coaching that you apply or the method that you apply for your client. What matters the most is that they get the results that they want, or in other words, that they're happy with the service that you're providing for them, because they're paying you to make them fitter. And their general notion of fitness does not require the squat, bench, and deadlift. But again, context is everything. If they enjoy the squat, bench, deadlift, if that's the only thing that they have available to them, then by all means, squat, bench, and deadlift, okay? So again, that's episode 4 of Philosophit, or the first segment of Discurso. See you.